Good afternoon, everyone. So glad to be in California because I'm from Pennsylvania and we're getting slammed right now. So I'm kind of scared to go home to see if I have a house standing. But I'm Heather Stafford. I'm from the Pennsylvania Department of Health, and I am the director of the Division of Immunizations. And I'm going to talk to you today about some lessons that we have learned and a program that we have just started in 2011 on promoting healthcare worker influenza. And I have no presenter disclosures. So my objective today is to discuss our effort to improve influenza vaccination among healthcare personnel through working through some of our statewide partnerships. I'll go over our background, a little bit of our campaign, our preliminary results and lessons learned, conclusions and recommendations, and what we see as our future steps. So our state of Pennsylvania, we are the sixth most populous state in the country. We have the third highest elderly population. We have 213 licensed hospitals and 813 long-term care facilities. Influenza is only reportable if there's an outbreak or if there's a vaccine adverse event. So just an individual case of influenza is not reportable to us, so it's kind of hard to track the number of cases. And we have two state laws regarding influenza vaccination, which don't pertain to healthcare workers. Act 95 is the Long-Term Care Facility Immunization Act, and that states that it's required that residents of a long-term care facility are given the vaccine, but it's only offered to employees, and the employees can decline it. And the Elderly Immunization Act states that hospitals must offer vaccination within 24 hours to all patients that are going to be in the hospital for within 24 hours, but not for employees either. So there's no set laws, state law, for healthcare workers. Our situation is, and this is based on a formula by CDC based on our population, we should have about 600,000 to 1.3 million Pennsylvanians getting the flu each year. 1 to 5% of all outpatient doctor visits are attributed to flu-like illness. 100 to 200 outbreaks of flu are in long-term care facilities and that are reported annually to us. Severe disease outcomes are commonly reported in unvaccinated individuals, the elderly, children, and immunosuppressed individuals. And our mortality is approximately 2,000 Pennsylvanians dying from flu-related complications annually, and 90% of those deaths occur in persons 65 years and older. So among our healthcare practitioners, we have 50 to 300 cases of flu reported each year in Pennsylvania. 100 to 200 cases of hospital-acquired flu are reported from hospitals annually. And more than half of our outbreaks reported in long-term care facilities do involve the employees passing it on to residents that then in turn have influenza-like illness. Unvaccinated healthcare workers are more likely to contract and transmit the flu to their patients. And unfortunately, we only have 30 to 40% still do not get the flu. So we're at about a 60% coverage rate for our healthcare workers, which is increased. We were averaging around for several years about a 40% coverage rate. So we have gone up to 60, but that's still not very high for healthcare workers, who we should all know better. Since 2005, we have been conducting an annual survey that we send out to our long-term care facilities. So from 2005 to 2011, we have averaged that about 63% have vaccine coverage over 60. I'm sorry, I messed that whole thing up. Of our return rate on the surveys is a 63% return rate. 118 of those that did return, which is only 15%, show a vaccine coverage of 60%. And only 8 facilities of all the reported surveys that we got back showed a 90% or greater coverage rate. And we do the same thing for hospitals. We also do an annual hospital survey that averages, we got about a 63% return rate in that hospital survey. 48 of the hospitals show vaccine coverage over 60%, and only 5 hospitals show 90%. I'll come back to that number 5 because it's a really great increase after I'll show you what our campaign has shown. But we also, the only other statistics we have for hospitals is looking at the behavioral risk factor surveillance system and then our own immunization survey that we send out to hospitals. So it's really hard to gauge flu vaccination rates. So why change this course? Why did we choose to do this focus? Because for 30 years and having voluntary programs, we have not really gained anything. We're mostly stagnating at around 60%. There's no state or federal law that currently requires flu vaccination for healthcare workers. And an increasing number of hospitals and long-term care facilities require employees to get flu vaccination annually, so we thought it's a good time to start jumping on their bandwagon because some hospitals are starting to go this route. Institutional mandates have resulted, it is proven, to show significant increases in vaccine coverage. And more professional organizations are now endorsing or supporting mandatory flu vaccination. So the Pennsylvania Department of Health initiated a campaign to strengthen institutional policies around flu vaccination. It was a collaborative effort. We worked with our Centers for Vaccine Ethics and Policy at the University of Pennsylvania. We worked really closely with our Hospital and Healthcare System Association of Pennsylvania. We have a statewide immunization coalition, which that's really great to work with because they don't have a lot of the government constraints that we as the Department of Health did, so they could really go out and campaign a little bit more than we could. And we worked with the Pennsylvania Patient Safety Authority. We started our campaign in spring of 2011 before the fall flu season. Our campaign premise was really, you know, patient safety is imperative. We all have a responsibility to first do no harm. Our case fatality rate of 6 to 8% is in hospitalizations. This is all things we would promote to the hospitals. They were at risk of getting lawsuits if a healthcare worker passed the flu on to a patient. Furloughed staff are expensive. Antiviral medications are expensive. These are all costs to hospitals. And we averaged about $7,500 per patient it would cost a hospital that got a nosocomial influenza infection. It's a huge employee health benefit. It reduces presenteeism, absenteeism, and nosocomial transmission. It's a community health issue. Vaccination is a preparedness issue, and universal vaccination does improve herd immunity. So we dubbed our campaign Earn Your Stripes, and the next slide I think is a poster, but we really worked on the whole kind of military theme of earning your stripe as a healthcare worker if you get vaccinated. We offered regional trainings across our state and invited all infection control practitioners and administrators from hospitals and long-term care facilities, and we talked about the importance and strategies that they could do to improve their flu vaccination. We had hospitals with the 90% coverage rate share what worked, which at the time we only had five. So those five hospitals, a representative went to all 13 of our trainings and talked about how they got to the 90% coverage rate. We developed and distributed educational materials. We created posters. We created a video around the Earn Your Stripe theme. And we provided technical assistance to the hospitals considering strengthening their flu vaccination policies. We actually helped them write some policies and work on some legal language with them. We facilitated the networking between the hospitals, as I mentioned, that had the 90% rate. We worked with professional associations to disseminate information on flu vaccine best practices, and we started giving awards, certificates of achievements. They got medal, they went on a state honor roll that went on our website, and for those hospitals that after our campaign started to achieve the 90% and greater, so it was like giving them incentive because we were listing their names on our website, so it kind of turned into a competition. But here's what our poster looks like. So it's kind of like rolling up your sleeves, earn your stripes, get your shot, get your Band-Aid. And this poster is still being widely, this year, because we're in flu season right now, we're getting massive requests for this poster. So it's still getting out there, and it's really got some good traction. Some of our results did show major improvements in vaccine coverage. We have a lot more hospitals with a greater than 90% coverage. So I'm going to talk about what worked well and what did not work well. Along the same time that we initiated our campaign in 2011, at the end of 2011, hospitals had to start being measured using the National Quality Forum metric. It became a standardized vaccine coverage, so that kind of worked in our favor because they knew they were going to have to report on this measure. So the denominator for this measure is the number of healthcare workers who are working in a healthcare facility for at least 30 days between October 1st and March 31st of the following year, regardless of the clinical responsibility or patient contact. And the numerator is the healthcare worker in the denominator population who during the time from October 1st or whenever the vaccine becomes available through March 31st of the following year. We conducted a survey of all of our inpatient hospitals that reported their NHSN in 2011. So we did an initial survey from like 2005 to 2011, and then this standard came about, so that kind of saved us a lot of the legwork. We're not doing all the surveys that we were doing now. We're just using the results from this. But 236 of 254 facilities responded, yielding a response rate of 93%. Of all the facilities that responded, 44 had influenza rates of 90% or greater. That's huge in 1 year. Remember I said we had 5 when we started with 90% or greater? Now there's 44. So now we're in 2012, so we're hoping to double that. So it has made a really strong impact. More than half of the facilities reported an improvement in vaccine coverage and improved system of tracking the rates. And a dozen facilities noted intent to implement mandatory programs going forward. Outcomes of this survey will be reported in Pennsylvania's 2011 hospital-acquired infections annual report, which is going to be made to the public. So that's another huge incentive. If a hospital has really poor flu healthcare worker vaccination coverage rates, they're going in this report. Everyone in our state's going to have access to it to see it. So they're going to know that this hospital on this side of the street versus this one, their healthcare workers are more vaccinated. So we felt that was a great participation, 236 out of 254. That allowed us to know the actual vaccination status of 276,000 healthcare workers in our state, which is 2.2% of our entire population. And this chart shows how it breaks down, what kind of employees answered and which ones declined. And this shows the facility types that responded back to the survey as well. And this is a really confusing slide. This is not my slide, but it just shows another way of who responded to what. You know, doctors, they put this stuff together and they think it's all understandable, and it's not always understandable. So what worked well? I think working with our hospital association, I mean, we worked hand in hand. They set up all these grand rounds for us, all these trainings at their hospital locations, working with our Pennsylvania Statewide Immunization Coalition, because as I said before, they can do a lot of things that government entities, you know, your hands are tied to do. They don't have to go through all the approval processes. Giving awards. People like to get awards, even if it's just a piece of paper and a plaque. I mean, you hang it on your wall, it's just a big incentive. Some of the challenges that we got were a lot of opposition from the unions. Hospitals that go mandatory, they make this mandatory for employment. Either you get the shot or the vaccine, you can get the nasal mist, or you have to wear a mask the entire flu season. What healthcare worker wants to wear a mask for months at a time and see patients? So, and one hospital really did have to let like 5 or 6 employees go, and there were some lawsuits, and the hospital ended up winning, and that was early on. So that kind of set the precedent for all the other hospitals. And it's hard to reach the hospital executives. You really need the buy-in from the way, way top down, and it's hard to get to them. I mean, you're working with your infection control practitioners who are great, but you want to hear it from the top down. And in conclusions, without the absence of federal state legislation, you know, immunization campaigns involving state and professional organizations have the potential to increase the momentum and help your state work toward institutional mandates versus the state mandates. And our future work will focus on long-term care facilities and addressing barriers faced by hospitals that are considering implementing mandatory programs. We plan to reach out to unions, continue this promotion, and continue speaking engagements regionally and across the state.